And now a look at local and statewide news. The Kodiak City Council last night approved a lease at Trident Basin and adopted a method for sharing the state's raw fish tax among area governments. KMXT's Maggie Wall has this report.
The Kodiak City Council authorized a 25-year lease for four parcels on Near Island for use by Island Air Service. This is not new land being leased. These parcels are already being used at the Trident Basin Floatplane Facility. Eric Howard with Island Air Service spoke at the public hearing. He said the lease will help his company serve tourists and rural residents.
So I was mostly speaking to the rural residents that don't live in any of the villages. Most of our village flights all operate out of the state airport, though we do occasionally use float planes to help with the village traffic when our wheel planes are unable to make it in there. But I was mostly speaking to being able to serve the people that have remote cabins that are not located within any of the villages.
Under new business, the council approved a resolution which adopts an alternative method for distributing the shared fisheries business tax, which many call the fish landing tax. As City Manager Mike Twenge said, the alternative must be approved by all governments involved. In this region, that includes Akiak, Kodiak, Kodiak Island Borough, Larson Bay, Old Harbor, Yuzinki, and Port Lyons.
The total fiscal year 2020 program allocation to be shared within the management area 13 is estimated to be $426,267.13, compared to $254,478 in fiscal year 19. Kodiak's share for fiscal year 2020 is estimated to be $126,857.49.
The council also authorized the city to pay Golden Alaska Excavating, LLC, for the cost of equipment and an operator for work at the snow dump on Pillar Mountain. The city manager explains.
The city of Kodiak hired Golden Alaska Excavating, LLC, to mobilize and operate a loader and a dozer at the city's snow dump off Pillar Mountain Road. Golden Alaska Excavating provided a loader, a dozer, and an operator. They were instructed to stack snow as high as their equipment could reach, as all of our equipment and personnel were very busy. The city does not own a dozer. During each budget cycle, Public Works has included funding to hire a contractor to stack snow at the designated site, and recent winters have not required the use of this account.
And on the subject of snow, several council members last night reminded residents to be careful driving in town, especially on the roads that are being cleared, and to make sure their vehicles are moved when needed. For KMXT News, I'm Maggie Wall.
The Rasmussen Foundation, a philanthropic organization dedicated to supporting people and institutions within Alaska, gave an unsolicited grant of $25,000 to the Aleutic Museum, according to a press release dated on Thursday. The grant arrived with a note from Rasmussen Foundation President and CEO Diane Kaplan, who wrote that, quote, "The grant is for general support to further the good work of the Aleutic Museum." April Counselor, Executive Director of the Aleutic Museum, said they are grateful for the unexpected recognition from the foundation. As the museum enters its 25th year, she said, it is, quote, heartening to be able to bolster the museum financially in order to continue its mission. Said Counselor, quote, this organization has come a long way. We have grown, professionalized, and prospered under the direction of our board and with the amazing support of community members and funders like Rasmussen, end quote. According to the statement, the museum will consider how best to use the money in the coming month. House lawmakers have taken a first step to bolster funding to the Alaska Marine Highway System. A subcommittee budgeted an additional $11.3 million appropriation on Thursday, designed to restore year-round ferry service to stranded communities. Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes championed the amendment, which passed 6-3.
The intent is to provide basic minimal service to coastal communities in Alaska by the Marine Highway System.
A $43 million cut last year has produced bare-bones schedules, leaving some communities without winter service. Cuts to maintenance funding also forced the state to rely on just one mainline ferry to provide regional service. That ship, the Matanuska, broke down last month, virtually idling the fleet until March. Hundreds of people rallied across the state this week for fully funded ferries as some coastal communities face shortages of food and goods from a lack of service. Governor Mike Dunleavy has also proposed $12 million in supplemental funding in the current year's budget, but the money would pay for existing operations and overhaul work. It wouldn't expand the service that's at historic lows. Some more ferry news. A shutdown of most of the Alaska Marine Highway System has created numerous challenges for residents in coastal communities. Gaps in ferry service have stranded travelers and disrupted the movement of freight. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, a lack of accessible transportation has also jeopardized medical care for seniors and people with mobility issues.
Haines has the oldest population of any borough in Alaska. The median age is 48 and a half. There's a thriving retirement community and many local services for seniors. James Studley is the executive director of Haines Assisted Living. He says the facility offers an option for seniors to receive care in their hometown rather than moving to a large city.
When people leave their hometown and they get away from their friends and that contact of family that they might have, their health degenerates rather quickly.
Most of the time, seniors in Haines can take care of their medical needs at the local clinic operated by Southeast Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH. But Studley says sometimes they may need to go to a larger hospital with more resources.
There's a couple of instances where they have specialized, doctors in a particular field that SERCH wouldn't have. And there's also certain tests that can be done in Juneau, but not in Haines.
When seniors need to get to Juneau for those specialized appointments, they have to travel by boat or plane. If they have mobility issues, that limits their transportation options.
A lot of the elders have walkers and they're in wheelchairs and they don't have the ability just to get around on an airplane. Even our small puddle jumpers that we have here, the only option that they have is a ferry. We have relied on that ferry system for our medical needs that SERCH isn't able to deal with.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has not provided service to Haines for over 3 weeks. This has made it extremely difficult for people with mobility issues to travel from Haines for medical care. Studley says the lack of reliable transportation affected him personally. Recently, his daughter Nicole broke her leg and had to get life-flighted to Anchorage for treatment. She left the hospital in a wheelchair. Studley says the two of them got stuck in Juneau for 10 days last month while trying to return to Haines. Nicole couldn't fly on a regular passenger plane, so they had to charter a private flight with a local pilot to get home.
That's a pretty expensive flight, and what other option would you have? And that's, something that comes out of pocket. There's no insurance for that.
But waiting in Juneau until marine transportation becomes available isn't any cheaper. Studley says getting stuck there can be particularly risky for people who rely on local services in Haines for their care.
Staying in Juneau at a motel where there is no help, or maybe at a friend's house where they have difficult living conditions but they don't have any other option, it can be a life-threatening situation.
Margaret Siebens works for Southeast Alaska Independent Living in Haines. The organization assists and advocates for seniors and people with disabilities. At a recent rally for ferry service, she shared anecdotes about Haines residents with mobility issues, missing medical appointments, and struggling to cover the cost of staying in Juneau when transportation is not available.
This is severely impacting people with disabilities and senior citizens, and we need to make change happen.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has canceled ferry service in most of Southeast Alaska until March. At a meeting of the Senate Finance Committee last week, Department of Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon said it is possible the wait may be even longer.
There's a good likelihood from the press release yesterday that we will not have service in Southeast in March.
In the meantime, DOT has been exploring options for chartering private marine transportation services such as Allen Marine. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Alaska Native women are murdered or go missing at rates that are far too high. Their families and communities felt the crisis, but until two researchers in Seattle issued a report on it in 2018, it didn't have a name. They dubbed it Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the report has focused national attention on the horrifying reality that Native women are murdered at a rate 10 times the national average.
And being able to put numbers to what we knew from the stories, to be able to identify.
Murkowski spoke on Thursday at a briefing on the issue, now often known by its acronym, MMIW. Native leaders and justice advocates packed a Senate hearing room for an update on what Congress and the Trump administration are doing to address the problem. Murkowski is sponsoring Savannah's Act, which aims to improve data collection, and co-sponsoring the Not Invisible Act to target the trafficking of Native people. And Murkowski said last year, for the first time, Congress appropriated funds for MMIW.
$6.5 million dedicated solely and specifically to dealing with the issue of murdered and missing Indigenous women, to provide for tracking and for data, for forensic equipment.
President Trump signed an executive order last year establishing a multi-agency task force. Assistant Interior Secretary for Indian Affairs, Tara Sweeney, says one of the goals is to help the families of the victims.
What we've heard time and time again through these Reclaiming Our Native Community roundtables has been, we report it and then we don't hear anything. We can't find out the status of this case. We don't know who to talk to.
Trump's 2021 budget requests $3 million for the Operation Lady Justice Task Force on missing and murdered Indigenous women.
The Midday Report on KMXT is brought to you in part by Ardiner's Fine Furnishings, where you'll find the Simmons Dual Comfort Mattress, allowing you to customize your sleep experience. Also featuring massage and zero-gravity chairs from the Human Touch Company and sofas and love seats by Stanton. 486-5554.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. It's Valentine's Day, and seafood helps share the love. More after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association is offering drill conductor training in Kodiak on February 28th and 29th. Sign on at amsea.org.
Integrated Marine Systems is the leader in marine refrigeration in Alaska. Simple, reliable, built to last. Visit imspacific.com.
Lovers choose lobster as the top Valentine's Day dish to share with that special someone. Shrimp and crab legs also get the nod as romantic meals on one of the busiest dining out days for U.S. restaurants. In a national survey by Harris Interactive, chefs called lobster an exotic delicacy that results in an intimate moment because it's handheld and shareable. They called all shellfish a catalyst for connection like no other food. The links between food and love have a long history, including the belief that oysters enhance male desire and performance. Until recently, there was no scientific evidence to back that up, but new studies by Florida and Italian researchers reveal that oysters contain compounds that prompt the release of sexual hormone. And oysters also are loaded with zinc, a key nutrient for testosterone production. And two women authors are touting omega-3 fish oils as serious libido lifters. In her book, Can You Eat Your Way to Better Sex?, Dr. Yvonne Fulbright told Fox News that fish oils stimulate the release of sex hormones. Author Marina Lindberg also sings the praises of fish oil in her book, The Orgasmic Diet. She says fish oil, similar to Viagra, increases nitric oxide levels in artery linings, which increase blood flow to the brain and sex organs. Pacific oysters pack a special omega punch at 1,700 micrograms, the same as Alaska king salmon. And the Alaska seafood with the most omegas of all? Sablefish. Whatever your favorite, share the love on Valentine's Day and every day. Find links at alaskafishradio.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMSI instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
KMXT's Island Messenger, supported in part by the Kodiak Daily Mirror, your hometown newspaper since 1940. Now online at www.kmxt.org. www.kodiakdailymirror.com.
Welcome to this noon edition of the Island Messenger. Right now in Kodiak, it's 33 degrees and overcast this afternoon. Expect some snow before 1 p.m. Chance of snow showers between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. continuing, and highs near 35. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming northwest, and an 80% chance of precipitation, another inch or two of snow accumulation possible today. Tonight, a 20% chance of snow, mostly cloudy, and a low around 28. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming south after midnight. Saturday, a 20% chance of snow before 7 a.m., mostly cloudy though, with a high near 37. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming west in the morning. Mostly cloudy on Saturday night, and a chance of rain and snow on Sunday, continuing throughout the day, a chance of freezing rain after 4 p.m. on Sunday. In Homer today, it's 24 degrees and overcast. This afternoon, a 30% chance of snow, cloudy with a high near 26 and calm winds. In Anchorage, it's 11 degrees, mostly cloudy. This afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 16. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight in Anchorage, a 20% chance of snow after midnight. Mostly cloudy with a low around 10 degrees and north winds around 5 miles per hour. Saturday in Anchorage, a 20% chance of snow before noon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 19 degrees and north winds around 5 miles per hour becoming calm. Looking at the marine forecast for today, from Marmot Island to Sikkenak, there's a small craft advisory through Saturday. Today, west winds of 30 knots north of Dangerous Cape, northeast winds of 15 knots becoming northwest in the afternoon with seas at 11 feet, rain and snow. Tonight, west winds of 20 knots with seas at 11 feet. Chiniac Bay today, northeast winds of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet and snow, and tonight, variable winds of less than 10 knots with seas at 2 feet. Marmot Bay today, north winds of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet and snow, and tonight, west winds of 10 knots in the evening becoming variable less than 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. Shelikof Strait has a small craft advisory today and Saturday. Today, northeast winds of 30 knots with seas at 6 feet and snow, and tonight, variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 2 feet. West of the Barren Islands, including Kamischak Bay, has a small craft advisory today. Northeast winds of 30 knots with seas at 8 feet and freezing spray, and tonight, variable winds of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. East of the Barren Islands, today northeast winds of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet, snow and rain, and tonight west winds of 15 knots with seas at 6 feet. Today is February 14th, happy Valentine's Day. Sunrise this morning was at 8:43 a.m., sunset tonight will be at 6:06 p.m., that's 9 hours and 22 minutes of daylight, which is 4 minutes 48 seconds more than we got yesterday. The record high on this day was 57 degrees in 1927, and the record low was 0 in 1985. Looking at our tides for today, high tide for Kodiak will be at 5:54 p.m., 7.05 feet. Low tide will be out at 11:44 p.m., 1.13 feet. Over on the west side, we just passed low tide at 12:17 p.m., 0.57 feet. The next high tide will be at 6:30 p.m., 16.66 feet, and low tide following at 12:25 a.m., 2.02 feet. And let's look at our community announcements for today. There will be a Board of Education regular meeting on Monday, February 17th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room F140 of the Old High School Wing. Meeting agendas are available at District Services Room F143 of the Old High School Wing. The agenda and packet can be viewed on Board Docs. For more information, contact Bianca Clark, Secretary to the Board of Education, at 907-486-7566. The Alaska Aerospace Corporation will be conducting rocket launch operations at Narrow Cape this month. Launch windows will be from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. beginning, I believe, at the end of the month, February 21st, but we'll be keeping you posted on that. The following restrictions coordinated with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources will be enforced to ensure public safety. On launch day, the Pisagshack Road will be blocked immediately east of mile 13, including the entrance to the Pacific Spaceport Complex. The Pisagshack roadblock will be manned prior to the opening of the launch window. It will initially function as a checkpoint for all traffic authorized to proceed past the roadblock. All non-launch associated vehicles and personnel not directly associated with the launch will be cleared from the area beyond the Pisagshack roadblock approximately 3 hours prior to the launch to ensure public safety. There will be an electronic sign in Bell's Flats on the Chiniac Highway that's near the rendezvous, with information regarding road closures at PSCA. Questions pertaining to road closures can be directed to Paul Pena, that's the ground safety manager, 907-942-4485, or Robert Green, the spaceport manager, 907-229-2007. Providence Kodiak Medical Center is offering free birthing classes for expectant mothers at or before 20 weeks of pregnancy for you and your labor support team. The series of classes covers everything you need to know about labor, delivery, and caring for your newborn. The full cycle of classes runs for 8 weeks and are held every Wednesday evening starting at 5:30 p.m. No registration is required and you can start at any time. You can also make up a class if you missed one by catching the next cycle of classes. Find the weekly schedule on the Providence website. Again, that's Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7 at the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center Pyramid Room. You can stop by admitting and ask for directions. On Monday, the public library will be closed for President's Day. Regular hours resume on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And last up, tonight is the next installment of Galley Tables. The theme is For Better or Worse. There will be 7 storytellers, each given 7 minutes to tell their story. There's a $5 suggested donation at the door. Doors open at 7 and the show starts at 7:30 at the Kodiak Harbor Convention Center. Sign up to tell your story at galleytables.com or email galleytables@gmail.com. And that's all I have for you for today.
Island Byways is supported by Orion's Mountain Sports, specializing in high-quality clothing and equipment for hiking, climbing, and kayaking. Orion's Mountain Sports, located at 1247 Mill Bay Road. Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the February 14th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. It's finally here. The citizen science program I talked about last week, the Great Backyard Bird Count, starts on the 14th and goes through Monday the 17th. It's pretty simple to participate. Go to birdcount.org and follow the instructions there to register and report your bird finds. Whether you choose to watch your backyard feeder or you decide to go birding along a favorite trail or hotspot, you can spend as little as 15 minutes counting birds or count several times a day. Once you've selected your area, count all the birds and the different breeds that come into the area during the time you allotted. Once you've finished counting, share your results at birdcount.org. And that's it. You're done. Projects like the Great Backyard Bird Count, the Christmas Bird Count, and Project Feeder Watch are important because they help scientists determine what's happening with bird populations all over the world. Last year, people from over 100 countries participated in the Backyard Bird Count. That's a whole lot of data gathered that wouldn't have been possible without the help of citizen scientists like you. So take a little time this weekend, grab the binocs, your kids, or even grandma, and count some birds. We still have a lot of winter and spring snow ahead of us, which increases the possibility of avalanches in higher elevations. Kodiak Island Search and Rescue is giving a talk on basic avalanche safety on Thursday, February 20th at 7:30 p.m. at Bayside Fire Hall. The talk will go over the basics of traveling in avalanche terrain. If you're interested in learning more about what Kaisar does and how you can be a member, join the meeting at 7 p.m. just before the avalanche training. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.